This is an ABC podcast.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and
gardening with James and Sabrina.
We had a fantastic day, as you know. We expected about 150 and ended up with 540 people. You are a popular woman in the sticks.
Not just in the sticks, I have you know. There are men who are desperate for her in the city as well.
James, don't go there.
No, I am going there. I'm trying to get her a date, to be honest, Peter.
Oh, well, good luck.
After 9 a.m. Saturdays, ABC Perth and local radio WA.
5 years I've had to wait for this.
James!
Such a thrill.
So excited. And you've worn your tight T-shirt and everything for
I
me.
I have, and done my workout.
You're looking buff, mate.
Thanks.
Buff.
So are you. Actually, we were talking beforehand. You know, you have not changed one bit. Obviously, I've seen you a few times between, on airs. But you don't change at all. What is it?
I think I've got a little wider, but only in the middle bits. Nowhere else. I've got delightful ankles. They are sensational.
Have you got a date yet?
No.
I can't believe that. You see, you need me to help you with your love life.
I know, because quite frankly, Ro and Steens have just been pathetic at it.
They didn't treat it as a priority like I did. I know that people think that it's about gardening, but I didn't see it like that, did I?
You did not, James. You did not.
You'll be really pleased to know that on the gardening front, I still have no idea how to do anything. Nothing.
Have you got anything that's green that's alive, though?
Well, what I have learned over the years of being in Perth is that you stick with what you know works, okay? Which is down to about 3 plants that work for me. Because the rest, I just blitz. Aww. I find it's not right. And I'm not a natural like yourself. No. What does annoy me is when people come around and say, I thought you did Saturday breakfast with Sabrina for 7 years. I said, I did. I did. It's just that I forgot some of the important details.
So you just have to keep on with it. So what you'll need to do now, James, is at least twice a year pop in and do Saturdays with me. So you
just
can
get a
just
top up.
Review That's all like, that information.
Like going to a wellness clinic, just making sure that you're on top of things.
That's
Be
it.
Proactive, not reactive.
That's exactly right, James.
Has it been okay since? Have you been happy with the people that you've been presenting with?
Absolutely.
Got a good rapport?
I have to say there's very few people that I don't get on with.
I know.
And they
You
know.
And I both see the good in everyone.
Absolutely.
And it's only when someone says something afterwards you go,
No, you're much kinder than me. No, because people know when I don't particularly like them.
Is there going to be an element of that this morning? No, is there? I might just tee that up for you. There is, isn't there?
No. Our listeners are lovely. Only the ones that complain about my song choice, I have a bit of a crack at them.
And you've dialed it back today?
Yeah. Well, I have because I'm a special song for everyone out in the wheat belt that's still harvesting at the moment.
That's okay. So we'll come on to that at 9:30.
Yeah.
Before that, do you want to have a crack at anyone or should we just get on with it?
Well, I want to have a big crack at a few things this morning, James.
What we thought we'd do is this is the first and probably maybe the last time that you and I can do this. We might as well do it full on.
No one is safe this morning. Most of all, WaterCorp, look out. But what we'll do is we'll take a couple of phone calls
really?
First. Yeah, I think so.
We're going to just ease into this.
Yeah, I reckon.
Okay, should we go to Kay?
I love Kay.
Is Kay okay?
Kay is okay. Kay and Wombat, this is where we should match Kay and Wombat.
Yeah.
Kay is a beautiful regular.
Good.
Listener.
And she's not one of those people you dislike?
No, I love Kay.
Good. Okay. That's good.
Yeah, you love me.
I love you, Kay.
Kay is up in Port Hedland. Oh, Kay.
No, Port Kennedy, not Port Hedland.
Yeah, okay. That's fine. It's very similar.
So Kay is as enthusiastic when she rings this program as Wombat is.
Okay.
I do, I love it because it's no good being grumpy and miserable. You just got to be good, happy, enjoy life because life's too short.
Oh, I can see you two would get on well.
Oh, we do.
Yeah,
I love Kay.
Kay, do you like red wine as well?
I do.
Oh, you two would get on. What I love about broadcasting with Sabrina, she always brings a lovely red to drink whilst she's on air.
Lovely. Well, you have a little tiny bit, but not too much now if you've got to drive, guys.
That's it. I'm a woman of great...
integrity.
I I was trying to think of what I'm a great something of. Nothing came to mind.
That's why we work well together. I will fill in the blanks for
you. Thank you, James.
How can we help? Were we talking roses?
Can I continue to manure my roses? They're blooming and blossoming well, Sabrina. But
glorious.
Can I continue to manure them like I've been manuring them?
You can hurl that poo around as much as you like, Kay.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Any particular poo?
Well, probably not chicken poo at this time of the year, but you can go for horse, cow, sheep, llama, rabbit, elephant.
Okay. Oh, that sounds good because I tell you what, I've got people walking down the streets in a little bit cooler time and they've been saying, look at that house, isn't that nice?
Oh, that's so lovely, Kay.
That's nice.
Lovely, isn't it? I just love it and I'm just thinking, come on, I need a bit more manure to make them look luscious and green and colourful.
That's it, Kay.
Beautiful.
Yep.
All right, my love.
Swing it around.
I'll catch up with you soon.
Okay.
And you and James, have a nice morning, and I'll keep listening.
Thank you, Kay. That was lovely.
Thanks, James. Bye.
Bye.
She's so your type, isn't she?
She's wild.
That's nice. Lorraine. Do you know Lorraine?
No, I don't know Lorraine.
All right. Lorraine, hi. It's famous Lorraine from Wanneroo.
Yeah, hello. How are you going?
Hello, Lorraine.
I've got some hippie estrum bulbs that used to be my grandmother's many, many, many years ago.
Yeah.
And every year they're getting less and less flowers and I'm feeding them rooster booster, blood and bone, sheep manure, liquid manure.
I think you might be feeding them a bit much, Lorraine.
Well, they don't get the whole lot every year. Every year I try them with something different.
So are they in the ground or are they in a pot?
No, they're in a great big cement bath.
Okay.
There's some in a cement wash trough and there's some in a cement toilet system.
Well, why not? I think that's – you never have to clean your toilet then.
No, I reckon
that's great.
Well, it's not the toilet pan, it's the toilet system.
Oh, the cistern. Okay.
The old pool chain type.
Oh, beautiful. Now, how long ago did you take them out and put new soil in?
Maybe 18 months ago. I didn't do them this year, but I have done them regularly before because it gets less and less dirt all the time.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so I want you to change your regime of what you're feeding them. So you allow them to go down, you allow them dormancy?
Yeah, but this year the leaves get so long when they do go dormant, I usually cut them off, but this year I didn't and I had a few more flowers.
Okay, yeah, so... Don't cut the leaves off. Allow them to die down naturally. Now, I think what's happening with your hippies is that they're getting too much nitrogen and not enough other stuff. So I want you to change to a fertilizer, a mineralized-based fertilizer that's a slow-release one and also has slow-release nitrogen. I can't give you a product name, but...
with nitrogen.
Yeah, okay. So it's a slow-release mineralized fertilizer made here in WA.
Okay.
Just go and ask for that.
Okay. Good luck, Lorraine. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks. 1-300-222-720 is the phone number. 0437-922-720. That cackle, by the way, still there.
Yeah.
And in fact, someone's just texted about the cackle. Oh. Love the cackle.
Ah, oh, you've got to have a cackle.
Well, it's almost like your brand, isn't it?
I think it is. I remember years ago we talked about getting a doll made, you know, where you pull the string and then it had my laugh connected to it.
That would so sell.
I don't know why we haven't done it,
well,
James.
Well, your daughter is really good at marketing you. Why can't she get onto that?
I'll have to tell her another thing.
That's such a good thing. What a Christmas special that would be. Pull the head off and hear the noise.
That's right.
That would be
awesome. Well, I wasn't thinking of the head, actually, James.
What are you
thinking? I was thinking of a little string in your back.
Oh, I love that. I know, I like the head idea coming out. That's cool.
Yeah, it's not bad. As long as it goes back.
So,
I don't want to be nodding.
Let's go to, who are we going to? Bree? Bree. Yeah, yes, Bree.
Not?
Okay, I've got to press that button there.
Yep,
there we go.
One.
All right. Hello, Bree.
Hello, Bree.
Yeah, good. Where are you? Canning Vale. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Look, I've just got a question. You said no one was going to be safe this morning about the horticulture. Look, I was at a nursery on, I won't say the name, but it was on Thomas Road yesterday, and I noticed in their succulent, like their cacti succulent section, that they were selling mother of millions / mother of thousands, and I have seen so many posts on WA gardeners on Facebook about this plant and how destructive it is, and that basically you've got to set it on fire to get rid of it.
Wow.
How are these nurseries allowed to sell these plants? Like, do they not have some sort of responsibility?
That is a great question. Now, the WA Ag Department has a selection of weeds, what's weeds and what's declared weeds and what's naturalised. I would say that in that instance that whoever runs the nursery is not aware of the weed potential of that plant. So, and I have a couple of instances I have seen weeds in nurseries and I've just gone up to them and said, do you realise that that is a terrible weed and it spreads and this is its botanical name and I think it would be much better for you to remove that off. So,
what do they say?
I always say yes. It's not. There's never ever a problem.
Wow.
So, Bree, I would contact the nursery if I were you and just let them know. And they may not be aware that it's on the weed list. Some things don't, some things are not declared weed, which means that it's not illegal to sell them. But if they are on a weed list, then it's responsibility for the nursery not to sell those plants.
Yeah, I mean, you could actually see just it sitting in this like little tiny, you know, the seedling planter size.
Yep.
This thing, it was like one stalk, and I could see all the babies
coming up.
Babies sitting on the top of the soil, and I was just like, oh, yuck, you know.
I know. So that it's good that the general public are aware of these weeds and it's just a case of going up to the nursery owner or the manager and saying, you know, this is a really shocking weed in our area. So
good on you, Bree. Thanks for alerting us to that. She was having a go as well. We've given her the license to have a crack. You're still holding back on the crack for a minute.
Yeah, just for a minute.
Just for a second. Can we do a few texts just quickly?
Okay, why not? Good.
Okay, Sarah, maybe, I don't know. Maybe Sarah. Thanks for your text. The question you have is it too late to divide my clivias?
No. I reckon, not today. God, don't do it
today.
Don't
do it today.
No, it's going to be quite hot today. But next week, it's not really the best time of the year to divide midsummer. You're better off waiting till the end of summer is the best time to do it.
Kimbo from Wongan Hills loves the show. Good on him. I could go on for days about it. What's this? My mango tree.
Ah.
This is the question. Hang on. My mango tree I got a year ago. The leaves on the top are turning purple. They look healthy, but not sure what's happening. There's also black spots and some leaves.
Okay, so the black spots on the leaves are, where's he from, does he say?
Wongan Hills.
So that's because you guys have had a bit of rain this year. It's been a wet winter. Wouldn't worry too much about that. Now, the purple on the edge of the leaves could be too much phosphorus going. So if you are using the fertilizer that you use on your farm, if you're on a farm, don't use that. Because you'll get phosphorus toxicity, which comes out as purple in the leaves. A couple of other minerals do that, but don't use your crop fertilizer on your garden.
No. Bad news?
Well.
Stupid.
Well.
Good morning. Yogi.
Don't be so tight. Go and buy a bag, buy a bag of fertilizer for your garden.
Yogi from Mount Lawley here. Sab, my 5-year-old almond tree is losing quite a few leaves recently. Is that normal for this time of year? I water and fertilize regularly.
No. Shouldn't be losing leaves. Should be losing its nuts
this
time of the year.
She's nuts.
Mainly to birds. Now, if it's dropping leaves, that could be. So there's a fungus that they get. It could be that. You'll see rust on the backs of the leaves. Could be a water issue that the water isn't getting down to the root system. Get a wetting agent, drench it with that, water it in really well and see how she goes.
So this is a good text for radio. Can you tell me the name of this tree?
Ah. Okay.
I'm now going to click on a button. Yes, they did.
Oh,
and here it is. It's just come up. And this is called a what?
Dragon tree.
It's
a Dracaena.
And it says, I moved into this house 6 years ago and got a tree lopper in to remove some. He told me I could get $17,000 for this tree.
I think your tree lopper's given you a bit of... I think, Dean, I hate to blow your bubble there, but
how much would you give him?
I think 17K is a little bit over.
What
top.
Do you think? More like
you'd probably get anything between 2 and 5K for it.
Okay, still got value.
So it's still very valued.
Mm, good.
So dragon trees are slow growing. They're a dracaena, so they're tough as old boots. Easy to dig out, but they weigh a ton.
Right.
So if you're going to sell that
spade,
if you're going to sell it, you need to say, "Come and dig it up yourself."
Okay, good. Mm. Knock off a few hundred for that. So many texts coming through, which is lovely. It's just that I've got a feeling that we might have to go beyond 10, which isn't part of the deal.
No, not today. No, I've got things to do in the garden.
I wanted to ask this question. Greg asked a good question. Mm. Can you reuse a good quality potting mix by just adding a bit more manure to it?
Well, Greg, you can reuse good quality potting mix, but not just by adding manure to it.
By doing what to
it? No. You've got to add a bit of compost to it and manure.
Yep.
So add compost, manure and minerals. Voila.
And a spoonful of minerals? What do you like in particular at this time of year?
A little spoonful of minerals.
What do you put in?
So I use minerals in my entire garden.
Oh, do you?
I've got the fattest worms this year.
Because they like the minerals.
Yeah, but also the rainfall.
They like the soil. They like the... Oh, yeah. And hasn't the rain been quite handy? I find this once a week shower thing very good for not having retic.
Fabulous, isn't it? Now, speaking of retic, James.
Have I just queued you up?
What a lovely segue.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if the general public are aware, but the Department of Water and Water Corp are looking at reducing the number of bore usage, the bore days, from 3 down to 2.
Right.
Because, of course, they're very concerned about the lowering of the water table
mm-hmm.
and all our underground water. So they're looking at ways in which they can try and reduce this. So the Department of Water and Environmental Regulation are saying that what we should do is we should look at the household user, the gardener, that now have bores that are using them 3 days to take them down to 2 days. So let's look at how much bore water gardeners use, because mm-hmm. they're saying that gardeners are wasting all this bore water and it is not necessary. So urban infill has now created a type of the infill that we're getting now, particularly in areas close to railway lines and things. They come in and they clear a block of every living thing. So now most of the suburbs, the people that have bores are in the older suburbs that are on blocks that are usually between 700 and 1500.
Mm-hmm.
So those blocks have got trees that are usually around 60 to 80 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Now what happens with urban infill, because there is, if you own private land, you can do what the hell you want. So the bulldozer comes in, it removes everything. Every single tree, every single living organism, whatever lives in that area goes.
Mm.
And then on that block, they build three houses, 6 units, or Department of Housing, 12 units.
Mm.
There is no space whatsoever for trees. This is how the way we do urban infill is disgraceful. Because there is no balance with hard stand, with what we're building, with green space. So basically all the canopy cover in those suburbs has been removed because all the private land is now being subdivided where there is no allocation for trees or green space.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no balance.
Mm-hmm.
The people that have gardens do not have their gardens because they want it for themselves. All the gardeners, and I know a lot of them in Perth, build habitat gardens.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't waste water. So the inference is that people that own a bore turn the water on and then leave it running for hours. That is definitely not the case. Everyone that has a bore has it on reticulation. The reticulation is tuned into a box, a controller, and everything is timed. So the timing on each solenoid, each station, is between 15 and 20 minutes, depending on the sprinkler type. With all the new sub-developments going on, there is 1 metre between rooftop to rooftop, which means that allows half a metre between each house.
Yeah.
There is no room for trees. Now, the concern is the groundwater. All along the wetlands, for 20 years, they are being drained, massive pumps draining the wetlands so they can build housing developments on. Yeah. If we are really concerned about groundwater, why are we still developing wetlands and draining them? It just doesn't make sense whatsoever. So there's a whole group that are involved in the nursery and garden industry that are going to put a proposal together to say why this is not a good idea.
Yep.
Because no one has gardens anymore.
Yeah. And we need.
There's so few of them. So those little pockets of the old gardens that, like mine, that, you know, are on 900, 800 square metre blocks, they are the only bolt holes left for biodiversity and the only canopy cover that we have. If we go down to 2 waterings a week, the very, very few gardens we have left, which are the lungs of Perth, will die.
Strong words.
So
yep.
If you have a bore and you are a gardener and you are concerned about biodiversity, canopy cover, heat island effect, or on the foothills around Kelmscott, and you're going to be tinder dry, your house is going to be gone, have it, download it. I want everyone to be involved in this. I want you to have your say. So go to wa.gov.au. I can't read my own writing.
Your writing is awful.
It's terrible, but I did that while I was doing something else. I won't say what I was doing. Recharging groundwater.
Okay.
wa.gov.au, recharging our groundwater.
Okay, good. That's it.
Get involved.
Good. Thank you very much. That's one public service announcement. There's more to come. Don't worry.
Oh, and I'll have a crack all through the next hour.
There's some music coming up in a moment, and it's not going to be offensive, which I think a lot of people will be probably very delighted. And I have nothing to do with that. It wasn't me just tempering it. Was it?
No, James.
Ellie in Sydney. We are broadcasting wide and far. What are you doing over there? You can't get back. Don't tell me.
I'm one of the people that rediscovered their garden and Sabrina's wonderful program in our 4 months lockdown.
Thank you, Ellie.
Give me the giggles, make me laugh. So thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure. There'll be more of it.
Excellent. My question this morning was similar to your redevelopment type question. We've got neighbours who'll be building a 2-storey building. I think it will be about 10 metres along our back fence. And so I'd previously planted a beautiful resilient lily pilly hedge, but I'm not convinced it will probably reach quite up to kind of cover the building. So what would your recommendations be for trees or hedges? They have a swimming pool and we do too.
Yeah.
So invasive roots are probably not the best.
Yeah. Ellie, do you know which lily pilly it was?
The lily pilly we've got is resilience lily pilly.
Resilience. Do you know what? So you're worried about, is it now going to get too much shade because of the build?
The build will be western facing.
Okay.
They will get a little bit of light, but we're thinking it's just going to be a giant, at the moment we can look out and we see beautiful trees in the distance.
Yeah.
In the future it will be, I think the length of our fence will just be a concrete wall.
Right.
That will be at least 10 metres high.
Oh, so, 10 metres.
Because it's double story.
Yeah. Now, do you want evergreen or deciduous?
Probably open to both suggestions.
Okay. Now, I know resilience only gets to 3 or 4 metres. There are other lily pillies that there's one called straight and narrow. Do you know that one? So that
I don't.
Yeah, so that'll get to about 5 meters. But what happens with plants when if you trim them at the bottom, they're going to shoot up. The only tree that gets to 10 meters that how much width have you got actually?
This is a rough guess. I imagine it's about the length of the fence is about 18 meters wide, but we do have part of it's in a pool area. So,
yeah, okay. So
maybe not there.
Yeah.
Then we've probably got, say, 10 or 12 metres of fence.
The other alternative is to put a self-clinging climber up there, Ellie.
On the fence, because the fence only goes, I guess, 2 metres high.
Oh, okay. I would go for the syzygium straight and narrow then.
Okay,
because the only other thing that will get to that height are the Simon poplars, but their root system is horrendous. So I wouldn't be putting them anywhere near a pool.
And so you haven't mentioned really any trees. Is that because of root system?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the syzygium straight and narrow is a tree. Okay.
Oh, it is a tree.
Yeah. So it'll get to around the 5 meter mark.
And I guess know it's out of your jurisdiction.
Yeah.
Do they have the is it the little bugs?
Lily pilly psyllid? No, they're lily pilly psyllid resistant. So
okay, wonderful.
That's a good,
good to chat, Ellie. Thank you very much.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for ringing in, Ellie.
Got loads of calls and loads of texts, and we will be right back with more in a second, but we're going to have some music.
Yeah!
Okay, because it's 9:30-ish, this is something that you have lined up for us today, which isn't offensive.
No.
Which is pretty good.
And it's actually mellow. So this is – so a dear friend, Bod – who came on one of my trips overseas, her daughter, Georgie Sadler, actually wrote this song and played it and sings it. And this is from an album called Sounds of the Wheat Belt. So there's so much talent in the Wheat Belt, enormous amount, and a lot of lonely farmers.
Yeah,
James.
There are.
Yep.
That's where you should be.
Oh, they're a little bit young for my liking. I don't want an old buggered farmer. their bodies are wrecked by the time they're my age,
with you.
James. Anyway, this is called Stay Right Here by Georgie Sadler.
Oh, don't move, baby. Don't make a sound. Stay.
Right. Do you want to do the text or calls? And we've got obviously 173 calls lined up.
Let's take
and
just
279 texts. Let's go.
Well, why don't we take a call? Because I'll listen to that and read the text, and then I'll point.
This is what you can do.
I've got
to press that button. Yeah. It's Tim. It's Tim in Rossmoyne.
Yeah.
You're up. Morning.
Morning. How are you, Lushy?
Good.
Oh, Lushy's in his element here.
I couldn't be happier. Oh, do you know what? I must hang on, Tim. Just hold on. Someone brought me a gift today, which is lovely. One of the guests before 9 o'clock bought this gift. It's a plant. It works perfectly, obviously, in the segue here, because it's a plant that apparently I can't even kill.
No,
it's called a
Phytonia.
A Phytonia. It's a little plant pot, and it is really cute. Will it grow big?
No, Phytonias are actually only quite small. But the main thing for you is, James, is will it grow alive for a while?
Do I want to put it with a lot of light?
Yes,
in a window?
You do. Yes, and you must water it. I think it's in a little pot.
It's got
it
a little thing, yes.
Oh, it's in it. Oh, see, that's got water in the bottom.
Is that good? Keep it very wet?
No, but you don't want that much wetness.
Okay, cool. So Tim in Rossmoyne, do you know what a Phytonia is?
No, I have no idea.
Ah, you see? That's so good to know, because I assume that everyone that phoned this program over the years of doing this was really intelligent. It was just me that was speaking another language. So you don't know what one is. Try one. Get one for your bathroom. This would look nice in a bathroom, I think.
Perfect in a bathroom.
Yeah, a little bit of light.
Yep.
It's lovely.
I'm going to keep a check on that and see what... Anyway,
you want to talk about a fig tree.
What can we do for you?
It's great to hear Lush's dulcet tones.
I know.
His mischievous wit.
It's the voice of reason, Tim.
Never. You know what it is? He actually comes across as angelic, but he's really very naughty.
What I'm trying to do, actually, I quietly, and what you don't notice, Tim, is the subtlety with which I provoke her to let rip. Okay? I encourage her. I just give her she's like a wild horse. I'm the jockey, and I just let her go. Let her go.
I've never had you as angelic, but however.
Anyway, come on, tell us about the fig tree. I'm dying to know about it.
Now, listen, just to start with, I have a friend who supplies me on a weekly basis with beautiful figs during the fig season.
Yeah.
And I asked her whether she could, at the end of last season, if she could provide me with some cuttings so that I could strike them and try and grow my own fig tree.
Yeah.
What she did, she provided me, or her husband provided me, with a great big bag full of sprouts that came off the base of the tree.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
What I fear, of course, is that these may be rootstock.
Yeah.
And that they will not sort of reproduce the figs that that I was hoping to get. Am I correct or not?
Well, that is a very good question, Tim. So it's actually not, well, they're suckers rather than the rootstock, because most figs are not grafted. So they're grown on a cutting. So that is the identical piece of the fig, but it may produce more suckering. So I wouldn't use the suckers. I would actually use a cutting instead.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, because I'm just worried about the suckering, you know, it's in sort of the DNA kind of thing.
Yeah,
so.
I noticed I've grown on these two or three of the units that I've pulled out of them.
Yeah.
And I noticed that they do tend to sucker again even at the base.
Yeah, that's right. Yep, so I wouldn't go there.
All right, so I'll have to wait until next season.
Tim, you can grow figs in summer from a cutting in summer, but you take the new wood, not the old hardwood.
Okay, all right. I might do that.
Yep. Okay, then.
Good on you, Tim. Thanks so much. See ya. Let's speak to Verna in Floriat. Hello, Verna.
Yes. Hello, James and Sabrina.
Good morning, Verna.
Hi. Many years ago, I came and did a program with you both on a Saturday morning following your Community Garden Awards. I won an award from you, Sabrina, about a school garden that I'd established.
Ah.
Fast forward to now, I have a story for you.
Yeah.
I went to another school. I built a garden. We grew a wheat farm. We harvested everything. We had indigenous fruiting plants, deciduous trees. Every year I taught that class in kindy. They planted a tree for them to climb when they left school. It was our outdoor classroom. We had bugs, birds, everything.
Aww.
I retired recently. I returned to that school 2 weeks ago. Everything. Taken out down
no,
to the ground.
No.
Lawn,
completely removed, and it's concreted with rocks. Concrete.
No.
So no movable. Absolutely. You can hear my voice.
Oh, Verna, I thought you were going to tell us a good, happy story. And this is like a horror story.
This is
horror story. I remember being on your program and, you know, the delight in talking about the outdoor classroom.
Yeah.
And whenever we spoke to anyone who did this sort of thing, you could hear the joy in their hearts.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And so this, again, is that loss of biodiversity, the loss of habitat. This creates the urban heat island effect.
Yep. Right.
Do you know, the thing that's really sad about this story is that once that has gone, that is never replaced by green space, because once you've got hardstand, once you've got concrete, you have buildings that will never, ever go back to nature. So,
and it followed on from the theme you were talking about, and I've been stewing on this thinking, oh my God, I can't, like, I was shocked, violated and shocked.
Yeah.
And I don't know how the children must feel, because every tree they planted with their photo next to it, and it was gum tree, it was beautiful. We had birds visiting every day.
Oh,
they
no.
built cubbies in there. We had picnics.
This is not good.
Yeah.
To the ground. someone told me it wasn't, it didn't fit the rules of the education department.
No.
Oh, my God.
Oh, seriously, Verna. Let's march.
Yeah.
Let's march.
I know. Do you know the thing is, it really proves how much we value nature.
Oh,
zero.
Good. Well, how are we going to blooming save nature if there is that much value of nature? Jeepers.
Yeah.
It's disgraceful. Also, the school knew what was invested in there with all the children coming back to visit there. I haven't asked any questions. I'm too hurt.
Yeah.
Oh, but I can hear it in your voice.
Yeah. I left that school. I've been there a long time and had, wonderful relationships, obviously, with the community and the children.
Yeah.
And when I saw it, I just, what? Concrete?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and to say that has no educational value to children is absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I reckon Perth is going to become so hot, the kids won't even be able to walk to school because they'll sizzle.
No.
It's ridiculous.
But I tell you what, Verna, it would be really interesting to find that bit of paperwork that says this is the policy we have for schools. Because who on earth in their right minds would write something like that?
It's ridiculous. And such short-term thinking.
Who on earth would
thinking.
Even think that idea to go and look for what a reason to mow it down?
That's what happens. That's what I was saying, Verna. When something is developed, there is nothing left, zero. Even if there are 60-year-old trees that are on the boundary, that will not cause any problem. Mm. They are removed. Every living organism annihilated.
And what are we teaching our young children?
Absolutely.
We're teaching that the concrete is king
and
development is everything.
And once you leave somewhere, you're gone. You're sawed down.
Oh, dear. This is... Verna, you've sort of changed the tone a little, but
anyway,
very important.
It is a sad story. I did tell the producer
Verna, that is not only a sad story, it's a very, very, very,
very
common
story. And very common and very important.
Oh, God, that's even sadder.
I know. Yeah. We have to stop. We have to do something about it. Something has to be done about this. And I'm not just talking about people that are using bores. I'm talking about we need to understand who uses that bore water. I can tell you now the home gardener is a fraction of where that groundwater is going to. A fraction.
Yep.
Verna, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for letting me vent.
Yeah, that's good.
Pleasure. We like venting.
That's actually fine. I can do the venting stuff. It's just when you get technical, I struggle. But that was all right.
Oh, me too.
See you later.
Thank
bye-bye.
You,
okay, let's we're on a roll now. This is good.
Let's go.
Right, we're going to go to Phil in Bunbury.
Phil's got a different opinion.
I think Phil's going to have a little scrap with us. Go on, Phil. Yep. Morning.
Yes, well, I'm a bit worried about the people on bores who can basically use what they like. And I'm going to go to Bunbury because in Bunbury, if you have a bore, you can have it on every day of the week. I don't know how many do.
Who can, Phil?
If you've got a bore in Bunbury,
there
is no restrictions. You can use it every day of the week if you wish.
And do people do that?
I'm not sure, but there's lots of very green gardens around.
Well, my garden's very green and I have my bore on three times a week. But I take your point. And this is, it's good that we're looking into the usage of bore.
Yes.
Bore usage, I totally agree. But we have to look at bore usage across the board, not just pick the easy target, which are the home gardener, because you know what, Phil, you're right. In the 1970s and 80s, people that had bores, they put them on every single day and they left them on for hours. And that is a disgraceful use for our groundwater. Mm. I completely agree.
Yeah.
So everyone that has a bore has to realise where that water comes from, and it is not an endless supply. But when we water our gardens, that water goes back into the ground. It also makes a place habitable for other organisms that are not Homo sapiens, ravens, cockroaches and rats, because that's what we're going to be left with in urban spaces. But I agree, Phil, having them on every day is completely unnecessary unless you are a market gardener.
Thank you for the call, Phil. Appreciate it. This is a we're onto some good stuff now, which is less technical, but some really important things. And I would love to, you know, take on some of these things with you, Sab. You know, as they get on marching, and I'm so kind of up in arms about so much at the moment. And the thing that really upsets me is the word that is used when you are kind of against some of the stuff which is common sense. Okay, so the word is activism, you know.
Yes.
You are deemed to be an activist if you are standing up for stuff which actually is going to have an impact on us all. It's going to kind of destroy us all.
But it will.
And it is really wrong. And this sort of language really upsets me, because you're not allowed to, you know, carry on. As the texts are coming through now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people here who are absolutely ropeable with some of the things that we're talking about. Hi, James and Sabrina. I'm mortified to hear Verna's story. What chance do kids have of learning about gardening and green in this wide brown land? Linda says.
Yep.
And others saying so much like this.
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, where do we start?
What's happened with the housing industry is we have all these regulations in place now. So when you build a new house, it has to be solar passive. You have solar cells, you recycle water, you have groundwater tanks, you have X amount of rating on your home. But we have nothing. It's all about the house. We have nothing for green space or for, you know, parks and gardens. Now, what they're saying is we need the groundwater to keep the parks and gardens and street trees alive. But, James, that's not where the urban cooling is coming from.
Mm.
It's coming from people's blocks that have gardens that keep the cool in. It comes from clever infill design, where you offset the amount of hard build with green space. That is not occurring in Perth. If we go ahead with this two waterings a week, most of the gardens that are now providing habitat for thousands of different organisms are really going to suffer. Once your ground dries out to a certain degree, it becomes completely hydrophobic, unwettable. A lot of the stuff will die. All the habitat that goes with that will die. Mm. We are continuing to clear areas of everything, and it is so wrong. New subdivisions, no space for trees.
Yeah.
You can't expect a street tree to provide the same habitat and cooling content as the occasional big garden that has 60, 70-year-old trees in it.
Yeah. Sab, as you probably know, normally at this time on a Saturday these days, I'm actually on a bike cycling, okay? But obviously I listen to this program, record it, and listen to it nonstop.
Yeah.
Okay, I get all that. But what is interesting is in the morning we cycle, and often we'll be going through things like Perry Lakes, where the trees and the canopy is, you know, and it is pretty chilly sometimes, By the time we finished our cycling, we might be out in, say, Canning Vale.
Yep.
The difference, I know it's difference in terms of time of day, but the difference is quite staggering. And
huge.
This is what I think we are completely missing in terms of the difference from those places that are just blitzed and built upon compared to where we have the natural Greenland.
We are building biological deserts in this city.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
If you are a gardener, for God's sake, keep your garden alive, because I can tell you now, they are the only bolt holes for habitat in all of Perth.
Yeah. Lots of people agreeing with this word I was using about activism, and people saying we have to continue to act. And that's the word, isn't it?
Yes, act. We must
to save
act.
This planet. Lisa in Fremantle, thank you. Oh, it's so tiring at the moment. I just feel that the baddies are really winning. Seriously.
Well, I want my grandchild to be able to walk around Perth where she doesn't have to come out in a moon suit to keep the sun off her, because you will get Elizabeth Key, classic example.
Yeah.
It's beautiful from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. and then from 6 p.m. to 12 p.m.
The rest of it.
Because it's too bloody hot to go in the middle of the day.
Yeah,
there's no trees. What the hell is going on, James?
I don't know. Do we bring out this in the show? You can see why we went on a roadshow around the state. It was like, oh, One hour is never long enough to talk about. Anyway, but thank you for all the texts. I've got many good texts from people saying, totally agree. This is just such an important topic. And developers and counsellors need to listen to this. And I bet there is no consultation with people like you.
I found out about this just through a media release.
Yeah.
I'm good mates with, you know, the irrigation, the NGIWA, the turf industry, who do an amazingly fantastic job. Josh Byrne. No one's contacted me. I am going to go at this like a bloody Jack Russell down a rabbit hole. I'm telling you now.
Oh, that's so good. That is so good. It's what's interesting as well in having this conversation, there are less questions about petunias. And, you know, it's almost
sad.
Like they've all gone, James is on. It's all right. We don't need to talk petunias. Anyway, thank you. Do you want to have a couple of petunia questions?
I don't know
we have any petunia ones in particular, but Albert in Donnybrook did phone. He said got something problem with his voice, but he said someone told him to put yeast on passion fruit vines. The crop has gone up tenfold.
Oh, someone rang in once and said they bury their bread, their loaf of bread, in their veggie patch and everything goes gangbusters. Oh. And they've also done that with passion fruit vines. Now, the thing about yeast is yeast feeds the microbes in the soil.
So they love it. They love it.
Yeah, so go ahead, put your old stale bread, and not if you've got Labradors. Put your whole stale bread.
I must tell you, I've got a new puppy, okay? My old one died. Okay, now I can't wait for you to meet this new one. She's called Mabel. She's very lovely. She's a border collie. Anyway, she saw me trying to mend the retic. I'm not very good at that sort of stuff. Normally it takes 2 to 3 weeks at best, okay? But she saw me. She saw me making little holes in the lawn.
Yeah.
So she thought, obviously my daddy wants me to help. So I came back from work one day. And she'd also made lots of lovely holes. And she obviously looked at me as if to say,
Look what I've done for you, Dad.
Aren't you
I'm
pleased?
So clever.
Oh, it's so funny.
Did she chew through the re-tick as
Every time I go away, whether it's to work or just out for a quick coffee, I come back to a surprise.
She does little chores for you while you're away.
Anyway, there she's joyful, but my goodness, what hard work you have with this dog. Sue in Dunsborough. Hello, Sue. How are you?
Hello.
Hi. Well, you sound nice. You sound good quality. Good. can I just put in brackets? I'm not talking about you as in personally. I'm talking about the quality line. Anyway, sorry.
All of our other listeners were really lovely too.
You sound lovely, Sue. Anyway.
What can we do for you, Sue?
I have one small problem, then I've got a big problem.
Oh, okay.
The small problem is a rose that the leaves are sort of curling up and a little bit greyish, looking like... Some of them are and some of them aren't.
Oh, okay. So, greyish. Well, that's not a nice thing to have. Now, there are things like spider mite. Then there's, of course, the dreaded thrips. Too early for those, I would have thought. So, are they wilting as well?
Yeah, a little bit. The ones at the top are. Mm. Yeah, wilting. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's only affecting one. It's only affecting one. The others are fine.
Are all right. You might have something sucking mites in the backs of the leaves. You could. It's a bad time of the year. You can't really spray anything, Sue, because of the heat, although you're down there. Next week, I would try using a bit of wettable sulfur on the backs of the leaves.
Wettable.
Sulfur. On the backs of the leaves, if you can get it on the back.
And quickly with your other one, Sue?
Well, we need someone like Sabrina Hahn to come down here because we've got a lot of buildings being erected in and around the town.
Yep.
And we've got two beautiful 80-year-old trees that are destined to be pushed over.
Oh, no.
We need a tree policy.
Yeah,
we need a tree
policy.
Absolutely,
we do.
Do you know,
they're going to put a six-story
high building. High rise, and that 80-year-old trees that sequester carbon, do all the other things, mitigate urban heat island effect. 80 years of growth gone. Do you know, Western Australia and Northern Territory are the only states in all of Australia where you are allowed to go in and cut down trees. Mm-hmm. Every other state down here. I'm going to go for
Parliament.
Every other state, you are only allowed to remove the trees that are in the building envelope. We are the only state in Northern Territory.
I would go into politics if I could do it with you, actually.
Yeah,
I'd really love that. Oh, my goodness, what a different place we'd have.
You'd do all the polite stuff and then I'd be the ranter at the back.
Yep. don't worry, I'd be kicking shins as well. Janet, got to go. Thank you so much. Was that Janet? No, it wasn't Janet. Anyway, sorry. Thanks for calling. Just so so many texts.
That was Sue.
Sue, that's right.
Yeah.
So good talking about this topic so passionately. I've been horrified at the development that goes on with the destruction of everything standing for a long time now. Ray, thank you for that. And lots of people saying the same thing. What about Mundaringshire stopping its tree canopy and understory program, of which I was a regular participant, for all the reasons you're talking about: shade, cooling habitat, food for the wildlife, etc. Another text talking about our risk-averse society, and that's why often these things are just removed.
Yeah,
you
take a tree out. It's dangerous, James.
Yeah, absolutely.
We don't
it
want
is.
That and oxygen drops... coming out in the air, for God's sake.
We have completely...
lost
and
it.
Utterly lost it.
Yep. We're leaving a great future for our grandchildren, aren't we?
Anyway, totally. If Sab goes for Parliament, she's got my vote, someone's saying. That's good. I think this is the time.
I think the two of us would be a winning duo.
Do you know, the trouble is, what happens is at least it gets talked about. The problem I have is the ignorance and the blissful ignorance that exists currently, where people are just not talking about the things that are going to effectively, you know, bump us off.
That's exactly right. I don't want to live in a desert. I don't want to live where there are not, where we do not accommodate space for other species on this planet. There are too many Homo sapiens on this planet. Let's give it across to, and we've, you know, we just keep doing the same thing all the time.
Yeah, okay. And today is a hot day. So today is going to be a day in which we really test it again, aren't we? We're going to notice that difference.
You go out and live up in the new northern suburbs and stand out in a backyard there.
Yeah.
Then you come to a suburb, an older suburb that's got all those old trees and gardens that are watered three times a week. Yeah. Stand there.
Yeah, it's huge. The difference is huge. We're talking, sometimes I notice again on the bike, you know, 5-6 degrees difference.
Oh, absolutely.
If not more, probably.
Without a doubt.
Look, thank you. It's been fun. I hope I get invited back again because 5 years between drinks is long.
It's long.
Yeah.
And, well, you know, we've had to have a rant. It's taken us 5 years to do this, James.
Sorry we didn't get lots of your technical questions, but I hope it was an important discussion. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks to Molly, lovely producer. Lovely working with her.
I know, she's
and,
gorgeous.
And we will do it again sometime soon, shall we?
Oh, if we're not sacked.
Have a lovely rest of the weekend. It's 10 o'clock.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.